have a dream. Last week we left off, we were talking about serving and serving in the church and serving in all the various places that we can serve, at home, at work, in the community, and at church. And we said we're leaving off at church because this week we're going to expand on what we're talking about serving in church. But just to give you a recap quickly on the survey, or the whole series, we began the whole series talking about membership. Church membership, what church membership is, what church membership is not, why church membership is so very important, because when we start committing to a local body of believers, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that means we are making a commitment to the whole family here. We are saying, we're all in. 100%, I am in, I'm going to do this, I'm willing to be kept accountable by the church, by my brothers and sisters in Christ, because they are my family and because I need them so that I can grow in Christ. Then, after membership, we started talking about, a little bit of how we glorify God even with our schedules. And part of that was important because there's a couple things we want to try and get across. That number one, we carve out Sunday morning, period. Okay? We know that there are some people who have to work. We know that there are certain things that do have to take place. But fellowship with your pillow on a Sunday morning, not really an option. Okay? Sunday morning is we come to church. We come so that we could be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family, and so that we can hear the Word of God and be convicted by whatever it is that God may need to say to us or speak to us. Okay? Then we went on to say the other area that we needed to talk about was more in the way of community. And we started talking about life groups and how that's going to bring us into closer community and deeper discipleship. As we build relationships with each other and we keep each other accountable in those areas, we started talking about those things. That was, if you remember all the way to the very beginning, we talked about Sunday morning church. We talked about having one way of being built into in your life outside of Sunday morning church. And then the final, which is what we're talking about today, one way of giving out of your faith in serving the body of Christ. So this morning we're going to get real practical about service and serving opportunities in the church. But I need to set some ground rules before we begin the sermon. First thing that I need to tell you, what I have in mind for serving the Lord is basically for the benefit of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? Now, it's not to say that we don't serve our fellow man. It's not to say that the things that I said last week mean nothing about serving your family or serving at work, so on and so forth. If you are a Christian, which I'm assuming all of you are, that have accepted Christ as Savior, that means service is just simply part of your DNA. You serve because that's who you are. The people that are around you, you serve them, and you serve them out of a love for Christ. You don't just go, okay, I'll serve this person because I really like them at work, but I don't like this person, so I'm not going to serve them. No, we simply serve because Christ called us to serve. End of discussion. But here we're talking about service within the church, okay? What you give to your church family. And that is actually why spiritual gifts and all of that stuff was given to us in the first place, which is one of the reasons why we read Ephesians chapter 4 to start with. Those things were given to us to be building up the body of Christ. And actually, as I read through that earlier, I was going, you know, I could make a whole sermon and tie all of this stuff together just from this one chapter about how serving one another also affects our community, and it affects all these different areas that we've been talking about through this whole series. Second thing I need to inform you of, setting ground rules here. What I'm going to challenge you to do is to make sure that you have a regular means of service in the church. So the question becomes, what does regular mean? And the answer is, regular means, everybody ready? Regular. Okay? Regular means regular. We're not playing semantical games. We're not trying to come up with all kinds of weird things there. But here's the thing. If you usher once a year, now that may be regular, but once a year is not what we're calling regular. Okay? That does not qualify for regular. We are talking about having a ministry to your church family that you can call your own. Okay? And here's the thing. We know some people are more on the end of support staff. They like to work behind the scenes. They like to set things up, take things down, clean things, organize things. They like to be behind the scenes type folk. They are not wired for being the upfront big mouths like myself, who stand here and say all kinds of things with lots of eyes staring at them. They would be mortified by moments like that. So that's fine, and God has wired them that way, and that's a good thing. Then there are others, like me, that have been given gifts to be big mouths and stand in front of people and let all kinds of eyes stare at us, and that's okay. I'm convinced that we have more people in our church than what a lot of us give ourselves credit for, in terms of being teachers, being able to teach others in other groups, whether it be little kids, whether it be teenagers, whether it be other adults. I'm convinced that we have more people who can do that. We just need to give them maybe a little more training, a little more support, and help them see that they actually are able to do that. But when we talk about regular ministry, ideally, we're kind of looking at around every week, but here's the thing. I do not want to make that the line in the sand. Because I don't want you to sit there and go, well, I'm not serving every single week, so evidently I must not love Jesus. That's what the pastor said. No, I don't want to do that, because then I go from encouraging you to be serving Christ in your gifts into being legalistic about how exactly you're supposed to achieve that. And I don't want to cross that line. Okay? So I'll even give you this example. We've got some folks who, their ministry, they own it. This is their baby. Okay? Is the pantry. When the pantry's starting to get low, they'll go downstairs, they'll go find more food and bring it up. They'll check the dates, they'll do the things, they'll get all that stuff ready. Do they do that every single week? No. But when they hear that it needs to get done, okay, well, it looks like I got Tuesday open, I'll be in and start working on it then. That's their thing. Okay? So that's why I say, when I say regular, it's a little hard to define, and I don't want to get super picky about it, but I want you to understand we're looking at regular ministry here, okay? The other ground rule that we need to lay for the conversation is just about serving is this. We made some conscious choices as leadership about what we thought we needed to discuss in terms of serving and what areas we're going to throw out there. And here's kind of what I mean. I talked to some of the leadership and said, let's start dreaming about areas that we can serve. What are some things we want to see people serving in? And what we wound up with was this really long list of all these different children's ministries and counseling ministries and ministries to the handicapped and ministries to these folks over here and this. And we had this long list of different ministries that we go, we'd love to do all this. And then we got realistic, okay, and said, whoa, wait a second. That's a little too much. We have this big church mentality that we want to attack all these things, but we're a smaller church. So we realize the simple fact that we need to, rather than have all kinds of variety of ministries, we need to have specific ministries that we key in on, that we make strong, that we build into and make those focal points, so that as they get stronger, that brings in more folks, that God is going to bring the increase through the strengths of those ministries. And as that we increase, then we can start tacking on other ministries as we go along. And by the way, we often skip a step in there. We go, we've gotten bigger, we can have more ministries. There's a step, a very important step that we often forget in that process. Right smack in the middle of that is whoever's leading this ministry needs to train someone to take it over. And then you can start new ministries. Okay? Unless God has really given this person a flaming desire to do this thing, we need to be able to train ourselves out of a job. Simple as that. Train ourselves so that someone else can take over, so then if we're going to go and do some other ministry, we have that ability to do it. Otherwise, those who are leading have no business complaining that there's nobody to take over, because the leaders should be training the next set of leaders behind them and training themselves out of a job. Okay? So, last thing under this. Doesn't mean that other ministry types are bad. Okay? So when we look through all those things, we're not saying that any of those other ministries are bad or bad things. It just simply means that we made choices about things. So, here we go. Ministries are ways to serve the church. And I'm going to list off several of them. They are in no particular order, so don't walk out of here thinking, well, Pastor listed that one first, so it must be the most important. No, that's the first one that came to Pastor's mind when he was writing a sermon, so that's where it's, why it is where it is. Okay? First one, ministry on the soundboard. Just simply working on the soundboard and doing the things up there, okay? Over the last several weeks, we've had a professional company actually come in, and they have taken out most of the bugs in the system, although we just had a little snafu this morning, and gotten the system into a good position. They've even offered and gave us a proposal as to what we could replace in the system. The system is older than what most people think, because it, just like anything, time flies by, and you're like, really, has it been that long? Anybody know how long I've been here?
10 years.
Be 11 years in November, okay? 11 years already he's been here? Yeah. Sound system, been here a while, okay? Just like we had to replace the computer eventually, sooner or later we're going to have to replace that sound system. So we've got an estimate on that, and the leadership still has to figure out what we're going to do exactly about that. But the professional company has also said that they will train anybody on the sound system. And when I say train, I mean you will know what every single button on that board does. Okay? Simple as that. If you are a button and knob guy like me, and if you want to know how much of a button and knob guy I am, ask my mother when she comes at Thanksgiving, and she will tell you some stories that will make you laugh. That's the kind of ministry for you, okay? Especially when you get trained and you know exactly what everything does, you're going to be in good shape there. We only need 3, 4, 5 different people to be able to do that ministry. So we have some other people. If somebody can't do it, they know they can call a couple other people who can possibly be there and do that ministry for that Sunday. Second area, ushering. We've been working on exactly what this position is going to look like, and we've kind of expanded the role a little bit too, to the point where we've included ushering, greeting, and security all within the same role. So we were throwing around names as to what to call this position. Someone suggested Uggs, ushering, greeting, security. Someone suggested Gus, or Gus's, okay, just for, you know, you get it. Anyway, leadership has actually been working on a job description for it so that they will be able to put that in your hands and you will be able to read that and say, oh, this is what I do as an usher. It's not just run up there and go take the offering. Here's the other things that are involved in ushering. And just real quick, without having the job description in front of me, here's what's involved in ushering. You come a little before the service. I know for some of you that means cutting down on that fellowship time with the pillow, but you come a little early before service. You stand there, you greet people, you say, hi, welcome to our church, and you shake their hand or you give them a hug. You hand them a bulletin. When it comes time to get the offering, you take up the offering. And at some points during the service, you just take a walk through the building just to make sure everything's okay. Stick your head outside, look in the parking lot, make sure there's nothing weird going on. Walk back through, check the nursery, check the children's church. I remember as a little child, okay? If you can believe that, I remember that far back. Remember as a little kid. Now, I don't know, I think there was something associated. Now, number one, the people who came in to count the kids in the nursery usually had candy. So, of course, we were excited to get the candy. I think it also triggered that they usually came to some point, and then there was like maybe, it was pretty short before the service was all done when they showed up. So we got excited when we saw their faces. But they were some of the coolest people ever, okay? Probably because of the candy, but they were the coolest people ever. And so we enjoyed having them come into the nursery and take a look at all of us and go, oh, you're so cute, oh, you know, all those kinds of things. That's an opportunity for you to have ministry face-to-face with people, but you're still not like up-front ministry where you're talking in front of a large group of people or anything of that nature. It's going to be such an important thing because it raises the friendliness quotient in our church. It helps protect the ministries downstairs. They know who to contact. If they're having a problem, they can let you know so that you can go and help them, all those kinds of things. Ushering is a good ministry. Third one, worship ministry. Ideally, we'd love to find more people who can play instruments, can sing, all that kind of stuff. If you read the Courier, you know that we're going to be losing one of our worship folk. And so we're going to need more support in that area. We're going to need more people helping out with that. Obviously, that means you have to have a specific skill set. You got to be musical. Okay? Playing the iPod does not count. I cannot do that. But we love to have, you know, full band, full people singing, all that kind of stuff. And this is one of those areas that we can also get some of the younger ones involved. Okay? We've already gotten one of our teenagers. She's up here every week now. Okay? She's singing every week, which is cool. That's awesome. But we've also had some of our real little younger ones up here. We've had Heather Fitchett's been up here before, and I think Anna's been up here before, and I know Alex Creature Gross has been up here before. This is one of those ones that you got a kid who can sing, man, send them on up. I'm sure they'd love to have them. That's awesome, because now you're involving them in the life of the church, not just bringing them to kid-specific things, but you're involving them in the life of the church. Okay? Students already do a whole lot of things at school. They already sing. They already do all kinds of stuff there. There's no reason why, whether it's worship ministry or any other ministry, they cannot be involved in the ministries here as well. But worship ministry is another area that we need to look at and make sure that we are building that up and strengthening that. Fourth area. Children's church, or I should say children's ministries, okay? Which, the regular children's ministries involve a few different things. Nursery, children's church, and Awana. Okay, those are the three main regular ways that we are ministering to kids. One of the ways that we want to help bring support to the children's ministry is we've been talking to the Christian Ed Board about bringing in some training for those who are in children's ministry. So that, I've been here for, well, we've already established that, 11 years, and been doing the senior pastor position for almost 5 now. And the one thing that I've already been noticing in all of this is that I think a lot of times people don't want to jump up and help with certain things because they feel like they're not trained well enough to do it. And so we want to bring training in on this so that you can feel comfortable teaching children's church, so that you can feel comfortable in nursery. And by the way, we want to elevate these ministries as well. If you're a nursery worker, look at me right now. Okay? Keep good eye contact because I want you to see this. You are not just a babysitter in the nursery. You can influence them little kids for Christ. Even if it's just a 2-minute conversation about some story out of the Bible, you can start laying a foundation for those little kids. So nursery work is very important. Working with the children is very important, and knowing how to teach them, knowing what to do in children's church. If there's an emergency, if something happens, we want to be able to train for that kind of stuff. Okay? We also want people to feel comfortable being engaged in ministry at Awana. Okay? Awana is an absolute treasure trove because you have inreach to our own kids, and you've also got outreach to the community. You've got kids, we've got a lot of kids that come from not our church, that come to Awana. So that is a wonderful thing, and there is so much potential there for reaching so many kids for Christ. Okay? Are there other forms of children's ministry going on in church? Of course there are. Okay, there's VBS, which we didn't mention. It's going fairly strong. But here's the thing about any ministry. I'd rather have people that we have to turn away, because we have so many volunteers, than ever have to be the pastor standing up here going, please volunteer, bringing up cute little kids and their little faces and doing the Sally Struthers thing, going, look at this little kid, they need to know about Jesus. We don't want to pull those kinds of things. We want people already noticing, going, children are my thing. I want to be there with them kids. I want to help them kids out. Okay? Are there other ways that we can be ministering to children? Absolutely. But again, we've made choices about focusing on the things that we're doing and making sure that we get and do them well. Okay? Fifth area. These guys. Youth ministry. Okay? That's been my domain for years. And I love my kids. They're awesome. Okay? I've often wondered how they became so awesome in the last year or two, what I did to make them so cool, okay? And the answer is absolutely nothing. God is the one who's been moving and working in all of them. And it is to God's glory that they are where they are, okay? But what we need with students is we need some more adults in there. While I've got some parental help, it would be nice to have some other adults in there, one or two men in there to be building relationships with the guys, another woman or two in there building relationships with the ladies and helping them strengthen and grow. And I promise you, you're liable to learn an awful lot just from hanging out with them, okay? Because they're just that cool, okay? Can you tell I like that ministry? Next one. And this is one that would be a new thing, and this is only going to be needing maybe 1 to 3 people. Looking for somebody, I guess we call them a community Sunday coordinator. One of the things I'd like to see us do with Community Sunday is make it a little more personal. I think the things to the community as a whole are working and working well because it is getting out there and we are seeing people actually asking us for help with different areas. But what it would be nice would be turn the corner and make it more personal in terms of being able to work for someone at their own home and help them with a project that they may have. So what this person or persons would do would basically be to look around the community, and if they see a house that maybe needs their steps worked on or needs to be painted or needs a deck to be repaired or whatever, they'll actually stop their car, get out, go knock on the door and say, "Hey, I'm from First Congregational Church and this is what we do. Can we work on your house?" And I'm sure you'll field all kind. "Well, we can't pay you, and no, you don't need it. What strings are attached?" All that kind of stuff. Then you get the really cool opportunity to say, "There are no strings attached. We believe that Christ gave us so much in serving us and dying on the cross for our sins that we simply want to get out there and we want to serve on His behalf. So we would just simply love to serve you." Now we need this in part so that we do not have wind up taking on 6 different personal places, don't have enough people or enough resources to do all of that work. We want to make sure that there's a coordinator who's building that all in, okay? But we also need it to turn that corner and make Community Sunday more personal in that regard. Last area that I'll bring up would be our life groups area. And this is what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, of a time for us to be able to get together as a church family in smaller groups and discuss what we talk about on Sunday morning. So when we get to life groups starting up, we're going to be starting a series on grace. What grace is, what it looks like, what its face is like in the real world, all those kinds of things. And so you'll hear about it here, and then you'll get to discuss it there. That's what life groups are for. What we intend on doing is training the leaders who are going to be leading those things. Last time we tried to start up a small group ministry, we had a lot of people sign up to be in a small group. We had absolutely nobody sign up to be leaders, which tells me either that there's a problem due in part with the position, that they're discouraged about things or something, or that we have a bunch of people who feel like they're not qualified to lead. So the problem with burnout or the position can be addressed in how the life groups get set up. But qualifications can get taken care of with training so that they feel like they are trained well. Okay? So we've chosen leaders for those groups already who are going to get trained. But here's where you come in. If you're thinking, "That sounds like a ministry I'd like to do at some point, that would be really cool." If that's where you're at and you think you'd like to be that, we would love to put you in touch and get you started working on training so that as the groups grow, as we get more of them, we have leaders already available. We don't have to wait to start a new group. We've already got leaders waiting in the wings to take over because they've already been trained in those things. Okay? So you need to be a person who would be authentic, which means you're not hiding who you are. You're able to appropriately talk about your personal life, your sins, the things that you're struggling with, and not hide those things. You need to be a believer who is acquainted with your Bible. Now notice I did not say well acquainted. Doesn't mean you have to be able to parse Greek verbs and talk about all kinds of theological words, but you still need to be familiar with your Bible. And you need to be relying on the Holy Spirit, because that's really where your power is going to be coming from, is from the Holy Spirit, not you. Okay? So if you're interested in that, please make sure you come see me, because I'll get you directed there. Okay? Two things that are related to this. If we have anybody who is willing or thinks that this is a ministry for them, to write up the questions that the life groups are going to be dealing with based on the sermons. I'm just now starting writing those sermons, so I can hand them to you 8 weeks in advance. And you'll have plenty of time to be able to read through them, think through them, and come up with questions as to what the life groups are going to be dealing with. That would be a possibility, as well as one or two people to kind of serve to watch over all of the groups and just check in on them and make sure things are going well. Okay? Now, some of you may be thinking, but Pastor, you didn't mention my ministry. Does that mean my ministry is not important? Absolutely not. Okay? All ministries are important. Just because I didn't mention women's or hospitality or men's or any other ministries that I may not have mentioned, they're all important. They all contribute to what takes place around here. Okay? Only got so much time in a church service, so you can only bring up so many different things. So that's part of it, okay? It does bring up a question, though, for you. Can you be involved in more than one ministry? And the answer is, absolutely you can, if you choose to be. Okay? So if you are leading a life group, and you want to work in Awana on Wednesday nights, you can absolutely do that if you want to. Or you can host a coffee hour. And in fact, I would encourage the life group leaders to consider hosting a coffee hour, because it's a good thing to work together as a group. Okay? There are some ministries of the church that are also not regular ministries. Okay? Each year, in the spring, we come together and we do our lovely little mulching routine, where we take mulch all around and we weed the flower beds and get those all ready. Now, that is a regular ministry in the sense that it does happen every year. But it's not regular in the sense that it's happening on a regular basis here, okay? So those are kinds of ministries that you can also jump in on when you have that opportunity. We painted the house 2 years ago. Now, if you consider every 20 years to be regular, we may need you again in 20 years, okay? But otherwise, those are things that you can be jumping in on when you have the time and as you have the skills, okay? Hope we're setting a good picture here. We all need to be involved in a regular means of ministry for our faith, in giving out of our faith. When we cut ourselves off from regular ministry, we wind up, actually, there's two problems with it. We wind up becoming weaker ourselves. Okay? In other words, we take in a lot of knowledge and theory, but we never actually flex those faith muscles in working and in putting them into practice in some practical way for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The other problem with it is our brothers and sisters in Christ suffer when we do not practice our own spiritual gifts and our own service the way God has asked us to. Okay? We are actually robbing them, our church family, of the strengths that we can be bringing to them. So, series title is called I Have a Dream. The normal statistic that gets thrown around when it comes to serving is 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And a lot of people actually change that and say 10% of the people do 90% of the work. I'm just stupid enough to actually dream that our church is going to defy those statistics. And that it's going to be 100% of the people do 100% of the work. That we are all going to jump in. I could be crazy, but here's the thing. I know we serve a big God. And God can do anything. He can help us as a church to defy the statistics that have been long-standing and make us into a church where we are all jumping in to serve one another. That's it for this series. Next week, we're going to start on the book of Jude. So I hope you'll be back with us then. Let's pray. God, again, thanks for allowing us to be here. And Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be involved in your ministry, to have significant roles, significant jobs that we do. Lord, things that are going to bring you glory when we put ourselves out there and when we serve. So Lord, we pray that you are going to help each and every one of us to be searching for that place that is ours, that ministry that we can call our own, that we enjoy, that we get life from, that we desire to serve you in. Lord, even if we have to try out two or three or four different places where we want to serve, Lord, we pray that you are going to be helping us to find that exact spot. Help us to know our own hearts so that we can find the best way that we can be serving you. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.